Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Freedomizer Radio. Up next is Keys of the Kingdom with a special guest. And after that, See the Power in You, where we'll be talking and weighing in on the subject of Common Core. So stay tuned. Okay. Good afternoon.
Cheryl.
Yes.
Yes. Hi. Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. That's Brother Gregory's standard greeting.
Yes, it is.
My name is Paul. I'm in Wisconsin. I'm a minister for Jesus Christ and His Holy Church. And we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. I was going to be all cool and call in via Skype, and got to the website, and just the little Skype indicator never showed up for me, so I'm calling in via the regular phone, but we'll get it together.
We'll get it together.
Thank you for this opportunity.
You're very welcome. I have another caller here as well.
All right. Area code 770?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I guess she's on. Yes, this would be Ella Sheba. I put it out there for a number of people offered to come in and discuss. What we're going to talk about today is, you've heard Brother Gregory talk a lot about the Living Network, and go to thelivingnetwork.org, and I just figured I would drum up some people from around the country, around the world, that are part of the Living Network, and we could let people know it's a real thing and what's going on.
Oh, excellent. Well, I was really afraid to mess up your name, Ms. Sheba. I didn't even try.
All right. I've heard all kinds of things. So,
but we're just very glad to have both of you here. I really enjoy listening to Brother Gregory, and I would have gladly listened to something that he had already said once before, but I'm just really glad that you're able to fill in for him today.
I'm happy to do so. As I said, I'm one of the ministers of record around the Living Network. There's a number of congregations, and we can talk about where they are and what they're called and give some backing to some of the things that Gregory talks about. And Ella Sheba is actually an assistant minister of record in the same congregation that I'm a part of. We call it His Church at Lake Country. And what you'll find about the His Church congregations of record is we try to stay away from naming them after things constructed by man. So like, we don't say it's His Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or something like that. We choose more natural landmarks. And where Lake Country comes from is just sort of an adopted name of the country that I'm from. What's interesting about this congregation that we set up here is that there's actually nobody else in the congregation that lives near me, even within 100 miles. So what we did was we got together a bunch of the personal contact ministers, and this all started a little over a year ago when we were at the Burning Bush Festival, and a number of contact ministers said, you know, we're not able to find people right next door to us or even down the street, but we want to understand what it is to be in a congregation so that in the future we can be ministers of congregations of our own. So we just got together and said, all right, even though we're all far apart, let's find out what it means to be a congregation. So, and they looked to me and they said, would you be the minister? And twisted my arm. I said, okay. But we're all in this to learn. And I think there's six families involved in this congregation of record. Ella Sheba's and her husband Tom are one of them. And they are in Arkansas. We have people in Texas. We have people there's someone in northern Wisconsin. We've got Michigan, Tennessee, and just kind of all over the map. But we get together, and due to the possibilities of technology, we can learn who each other is and learn to trust and love each other and figure out how to make this thing work. Now, it turns out one of the families in Texas, has found enough people in that local area to start a new congregation, kind of a branch off of this one. And that's what we're all really looking to do is, you know, as we learn what a congregation is, we can share that with the people that are more local to us and find those, fill in the dots in between us until we get to the point where, yeah, it is down the street or walking distance or even driving distance. But that's a synopsis of what His Church at Lake Country is doing. I don't know, Ella Sheba, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, we did twist Paul's arm. It was Pastor Brian and myself and my husband at first, and we were trying to decide. And, of course, Paul has the most experience of all of us. He's been around the longest, and so we encouraged him. And I think that down in Texas with Caleb, it was a similar situation where they wanted to have a more local one, and Caleb was the one with the most experience and had been around HHC the longest. And so that's really recent what Caleb did, and we're working towards helping people understand the principles of our Savior's kingdom. We've got it upside down and backwards, it seems, in the way we've been trained to think about church. One of the most attractive things to me was that Brother Gregory understands there's no lordship. And some of us that have been going to various churches and things have just about added up to our ears with lordship, where somebody tells us, well, this is how you need to think, and this is what you need to say, and this is what you need to do, and if you're getting anything else than that, then you're not part of us. It's a different spirit, and it may be a different spirit, and they may not know the spirit of our Heavenly Father at all, because our Savior told us it's not going to be among you like it is the Gentiles. You have one master in all your brethren, and there's not going to be lordship, and there's not going to be your benefactors exercising authority over you. And one thing I'm really blessed with among this people, as it were, if you want to call it the Living Network or HHC, is Holy Church or the various congregations, is that they take very seriously that the servants, in fact, Paul here calls it a lowerarchy, the servants of the congregation are just that. They're not dictators. They're not telling you that you have to see things or do things the way that they see and do them. As long as you're doing things according to the principles of Scripture, we're used to thinking about these doctrinal divisions and, oh, you got to read and understand exactly the way I do, and my creed is the one that you're supposed to hang with, and if not, you know, maybe you're not really a Christian, you're not really going to be saved in the end and all that. But Paul rebuked that in the Scriptures. We've got two Pauls going here, Paul, our minister of record, and Paul in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. And he said, well, some of you say I'm of Paul, and some of you say I'm of Apollos, and some of you say I'm of Christ. Well, is Christ divided? So we're learning, and I think it's a new skill for many of us. We're learning what that is like and how to love and closely associate with people who may not have a lot of the foundational things that we've been inviting since we were little children on what Christianity really is. And we're able to function together as a living network to help bring the special truths of the original government that was reinstated by our Messiah when he walked the earth and continued for the next hundreds of years, and there's record of it in history. It's being restored. People are understanding more what that is today, and we're learning to walk together, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, Cheryl, I wanted to let you know that I did talk to some other people about calling in. So if you see more hands being raised, it could be some of them. And I want to invite anyone that's listening, if you come across a question, feel free to call in. The number is 347-324-3704. And you can use that to listen. Obviously, you're already hearing me. But if you want to say something, press 1, and it will raise a hand, and Cheryl will let us know that somebody's here. What is this Living Network? If you're new to this, maybe you haven't heard of it. Brother Gregory will talk a lot about the kingdom of God, but the Living Network is kind of our structure on how we're getting to know each other, getting to relate to one another in today's world, and yet keep things nothing contractual about it. The only thing that binds us together is love, and that's the way that Christ intended. So the Living Network is something we put together at His Holy Church, and it consists of, electronically, it consists of some email groups that are regional around the country. And what people do is they sign up, subscribe to a group, which gets them on the same page with a number of others in their local area. And if you subscribe to this group and you say, put a message up and say, I'm in Wisconsin, I'm near Milwaukee, I'm looking for people to fellowship in my area, a little bit about yourself, then people near you can see that and get together, and we can grow the network that way. Now, that's kind of some people like to call the shadow of the Living Network. It's just a tool to introduce each other. This love and the relationships are actually built mostly offline because it's a face-to-face world, and a lot of people are caught up in the social networking, but that's kind of superficial. I mean, you can have 400 friends on Facebook, but how well do you really know them? In the kingdom of God, we're supposed to know our neighbors so much that we know when they're in trouble, we know when they need help, and we know when they're having good fortune.
In the Old Testament, the picture of the righteous man was the one who knew these things. He knew when the poor needed help. He knew when the widow and the fatherless were needing someone to represent them. He knew when people needed a little extra food because they were very poor. And it blessed me to see that there are those that take this very seriously and do look around to know the condition of their neighbors and to help them instead of sending them down to welfare.
Yeah, what you say is key. Christ wants us to, as I'm sure you've heard, any regular listener to this has heard time and time again, to form this government that does not exercise authority one over the other, as the Gentile leaders did, as the Pharisees did, as Rome did. And we do see this popping up in history. I'll go over this a little bit. I'm sure Brother Gregory has left an impression in your mind on it, but we see this in the time of Moses, we see this in the time of Abraham, and we see this after the time of Christ, too. He appointed his apostles as princes over this government, and it is a government. That's one thing that the modern Christians don't realize. They're not taught that in their churches, that we have another king. You'll hear him say that. You'll hear him sing it in church. You are our king, but it's kind of this imaginary king. Well, no, that's not the way it was. Christ was a king on this earth, and he set up a kingdom on this earth as a government. The ministers, the apostles, were the head of the groups, but they are the servants in that government. They are the government officials. They're in charge of the health, education, and welfare of the rest of the family. And we organize this into the same way as Moses did with the Levites, same way as the early church. We do this in groups of 10 families to one minister. That's something that a minister should be able to handle. It's not like the mega churches where we have 40,000 congregants in a church. There's no way you can keep track of that. And likewise, if someone in that kind of church is giving, if you have 40,000 people giving to one minister, that's a little lopsided. If you have 10 people, 10 families giving to one minister to accomplish the necessities and help the needy of those 10 families, it's pretty even. And then each of those 10 family groups is what we call his church at such and such, his church at Lake Country in our situation. There's another one. Let's say there's his church at Lake of the Oaks, which is in Missouri. Okay, they get together 10 families, and the ministers of those two churches and 8 other churches like it will choose a minister to serve them, which would be like a position of a bishop. And up and up, you can, they can have 10 bishops get together and they choose a minister among them. The highest servant of servants, or the greatest servant of servants, ends up being the king, which is Christ, which is all centered around. And that's kind of the structure we're looking to rebuild here on this planet at hand.
And while Paul is talking about organizing up and up and up, it's actually serving, and he calls it a lowerarchy, and that servanthood is, it's a beautiful thing. And it's because there's no exercising of lordship, it helps us grow in spirit, in our spiritual walk, and to learn to take responsibility for ourselves, learn to be more inclined and more encouraged to seek our Heavenly Father and our Savior to know what He would have us do. Many of us have been conditioned so much in our educational system to not think for ourselves that it's kind of scary for us to not have somebody to tell us what to do step by step. But the scriptures is not written in step by step rules. The scriptures are written in principles. And how do these principles apply in a given situation? That makes it much easier for one minister, as it were, to serve 10 families because he doesn't have to make up a set of rules for the families. He just encourages them and teaches them, if they haven't learned yet, how to bring their lives in line with our Heavenly Father and His ways, so that the Spirit of our Father in Heaven can teach them. I think that's one of the really neat things about this. I remember years ago somebody talking about, so many rules, so many laws. And I said, well, a person doesn't want to live under the Father's ways, His principles. They can go out and go to the library and see how many laws they're living under. Those are laws. Those aren't principles. And they have all of these things. There's no way you could even remember, let alone keep all those things.
Yeah, Gregory was talking earlier today on the radio shows about the Ten Commandments are basically written to explain in more detail the two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. So he spread them out into 10 and gives a little more specifics. And then Moses came and spread it out into a few hundred to address some specific situations. And he always makes the comparison that modern day Christians will tell you, hey, we're not under the law anymore. Well, if you look at it, they're under tens and hundreds of thousands of statutes and laws for their government that they're living under. But they often become argumentative and say, we're not under the Ten Commandments. Well, I don't want to get into an argument on that, but the neat thing about it is God is speaking to each one of us all the time, and it's our choice to listen. And when we listen, we find out He has written His law in our hearts and in our minds. And what's so neat about being a part of His holy church is that you find others that can confirm the same thing that you're understanding. And you say, yeah, I can see the same spirit in what you're talking about and what I'm feeling. And we see this over and over when we start gathering together and, you know, we come to feasts during parts of the year. And it's an amazing sort of thing. It's very gratifying and humbling at the same time.
Yeah, I think I first met you, Paul, with Zilla Sheba. I first met you in person in northern Missouri at a spring gathering, didn't I, a couple years ago?
That's correct.
And I didn't even recognize him because he looked different than his picture on the Living Network.
Yeah, I had a little extra facial hair from my picture. That wasn't that easy to recognize. She said that, I remember her saying, though, as soon as I opened my mouth, she knew who I was. She recognized the voice. So we can talk a little bit about congregations, show how they're around the country, and maybe that will give people a better feeling about, hey, there really is something going on here. We talked about His church at Lake Country that's based in southeastern Wisconsin, kind of right between Milwaukee and Madison. There's a His church, Les Hills, which is an older congregation, and that's based near Omaha, Nebraska, and Council Bluffs, Iowa. There's His church at Lake of the Oaks, which is in Missouri, like I mentioned before. The minister there is Brent, and it kind of formed. Brent is who hosts these spring gatherings every year, so we get a lot of face-to-face time, and he's got a very nice place to have these gatherings, pitch some tents, and get to know each other. I'm trying to remember these all kind of offhand. His church at Holy Sacrament, which revolves around Sacramento, California. The new one in Texas called His Church at Wichita, And it's interesting spelling in Wichita. It starts with an O. It's like O, A, U. I don't even remember the exact spelling, but it's more about what Indians called that area of Texas that they're around. There's northeastern United States, a Hitch Church at Skytop Mountain, and that's in upstate New York, I think it's based, or that area.
There's heat in several different states.
These have a big, large reach on them. They expand, but one of our main goals in all these is to find the people in between. And the one I left out, there may be more that I left out. The one I left out of record is his church at Summer Lake with Brother Gregory in Summer Lake, Oregon. So you can see it kind of spans the United States there. We also have congregations budding up in Australia. There's a new budding congregation. They haven't put in any recorded elders yet. And there's talk of a new congregation in Michigan with Pastor Brian, who is part of our congregation. And that's very early talk. But he just got married today, Pastor Brian. So if he hears this, congratulate to him and his bride. They're going on their honeymoon, and then when they get back, he's going to work on getting together this congregation of record in Michigan. And that will be one of the most local ones, I think, so far, from what I understand, 3 or 4 people in a very small area. Did I leave anyone out, El Sheba?
Well, I don't think you said Justice's name for his church at Holy Sacrament.
That's correct.
Although you did say Pastor Brian's name. Well, you didn't say Scott's name for his church at Les Hills. And Caleb's name for his church at Wichita.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important. The concept behind it, his church, is that it's very different from what we learned with the modern church. Modern church, we look to the minister to be the guy that stands up there and teaches us, the guy that's responsible for our spiritual well-being. Well, Christ taught us personal responsibility. He's the one teaching us and giving us the inspiration to gather together to help each other. So having a minister stand between you and God is not the goal of his holy church. In his holy church, the minister, he's the guy that's there to get things done. Okay, he's the guy that's kind of the ringleader of the elders. You know, the elders place their offerings on this government servant, and the government servant being minister. Okay, and then the government servant, the reason they chose him as a minister is because they trust him to use those offerings to help the congregation be stronger, and he's also the link to the other congregations. So he helps the local congregation, he helps other congregations if there was a large need, and he helps the kingdom as a whole. So looking at a minister as the guy that's in charge is kind of the opposite. Like El Sheba was saying before, it's a servant. You hear even in America where they talk about public servant. Yeah, that's a great concept. I don't think it's quite in practice because they are more in control. They are controlling. They are the bosses. We're here. We're the servants. The ministers are the servants. The ministers are the government of Christ. I don't know if we want to get into specifics. I think we have to take a break.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, "They are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights." Nor did Jefferson write, "They are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights." Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident, Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of His law. If unalienable rights are endowed, granted, or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything and we will always maintain access to these natural law unalienable rights endowed by God? Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction? Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep His inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep His laws, do His will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to Him and His government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws, and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways and, in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government, in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I have, I believe, the lovely Miss Cookie Vinda from Wisconsin here on the line with us.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Great, hi.
The reason I wanted to ask a question is when there's people out there that listen to Brother Gregory every week, and I just love listening to him and learning. But I'm not into computer technology. I'm one of those people that communicate on the phone. And there's a lot of other ones out there that communicate on the phone, too. Cheryl can testify that there's quite a few that just listen. And is there a way to make a contact or leave your name and number with someone that can make contact with you that doesn't use the computer technology through all these little devices, whether it be Facebook or, you know, emailing or whatever they all do with the computer stuff?
That's a great question. And I just had a call sometime last week from a woman in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and she got my number. See, His Holy Church does most of its communication online and through the website, but the Living Network is done face-to-face, in person, on the telephone, whatever method we can use to accomplish it. So what she did was she went to the website, and her initial contact was to look up, what can I do in the Wisconsin area? So she came across a page, and that page has some phone numbers on it, which mine was the one she grabbed onto. And she called me up, and we got together, or we didn't get together physically yet, but we talked for a while, and we made a connection that way. We don't have anything, you know, it all sort of stems from the website as a central point, but part of the local congregation's effort is to get out, you know, to the local community. Sometimes we'll put ads in a local paper, for instance, that will talk about the kingdom of God is at hand. If you have questions, you know, call this number or come meet us on this day. So we'll set up local meeting and we'll be there. You know, minister will be there. The local congregation will be there to discuss if anyone has questions. And sometimes we get a turnout. Sometimes nobody shows up. It's something we just got to keep trying. The most successful way you can get a hold of us is to learn who we are through the website and get a phone number and contact someone locally. It's up to the local congregation how much they want to reach out through other media like the newspaper or Craigslist is another one. Again, that's computer-based. But hopefully we get, you know, one of the goals is to get on more real radio stations that get out to people in their cars or in their homes where they don't have to have the computer savvy. They can just hear about the kingdom of God. And we do have that around the country. There's a station in Las Vegas that broadcasts Brother Gregory every day, early in the morning. So, Cookie, I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but ask a follow-up.
Well, I tried, and I got lost, and then I got frustrated, and I couldn't figure it out, so I gave up. But anyway, I just wanted to know if there was any way to make a contact number. That's all I was wondering, because that would be easiest for me. I mean, it's not that I can't call Brother Gregory. I have his number, but I just wanted to know if there was anybody close to my area and if there was a person I could contact or if I could give them my number and they could contact me. That was, I guess, what I was looking for because I just don't do computer things.
I understand. There's lots of people out there like that, and those are, frankly, those are people we have trouble reaching just because you have to meet them in person or get to them on some group that they're in physically, and we just don't have the people to reach out yet. You know, we're doing what we can. I'm happy. Did you say you're in Wisconsin?
Yeah, up hour north of Green Bay, up by the UP of Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, I know that area. Cheryl, is it okay if I give a number over the air? Or?
Well, you may, or I can transfer the number. If you're comfortable with giving out your phone number, you certainly may.
It's up there on the website anyway. If people want to call me, you know, it's available. So I'll give it out on this program. I'm not sure how many listeners on there, and I don't anticipate I'm going to get prank calls from it or anything. But sure, you can reach me at 414-467-9978. And there are numbers, I guess I put it out there now, there are numbers for people around the country. And if, you know, people that hear this want to use that number, I can certainly get them in touch with whoever's close to them.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent. Pleasure to meet you.
You too. Thank you.
If there's someone else that maybe is listening that might be more in the southern area of the country, I could give my number as well. We have actually quite a few people that we keep track of that do not have internet access. And it's 770-658-7445. My husband and I are presently in the state of Arkansas. It's a Georgia number, so don't get that confused. He's originally from Georgia, and we spend quite a bit of time over there during the year. So anyway, we'd be glad to connect you up with folks in the southern area as well. And I don't know what else there would be to share with that, Paul.
All right. I appreciate that. Who else we got on the line?
Area code 270. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Rob Hansen. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, speaking. Rob.
I am one of the elders at the congregation of his church at Lake of the Oaks, as you guys talked about earlier, and also PCM, personal contact minister. I don't know if you guys had talked about their duties and how they fit into the whole network yet, but I really didn't really have so much as a question, but that last caller, I had never really made that connection of what a hole that was, that people not on computers, we don't have a way really to get a hold of them. I've been just sitting here thinking about that.
Yeah, it's something that we, you know, it concerns us a lot that we aren't reaching the people that are out there and willing to hear and ready to hear and want to live this lifestyle. A lot of the things we can do by word of mouth, because, you know, you start getting in with, say, a homeschool sort of situation, some of the homeschoolers are receptive to this. That's one of the, what Gregory likes to call kingdom tracks, or someone interested in more holistic health or home health issues. People that like to take care of themselves tend to congregate with the same groups, and sometimes we can make inroads that way. But you're right. We can't be everywhere, and we got to keep it in mind to not just be internet bigots. You know, there's others out there that need to hear this.
Well, we're a small group that's driving to do great things, and you know, it's kind of we're slowly but surely building here. But it seems like as people are seeing more of the world system, you know, like kind of we look at today with the government shutdowns and stuff like that, that I think people are starting to wake up to the point that these things are going to become less efficient, and to the point where they might actually be breaking down. And what we are doing is basically trying to foresee that and have an alternative there, you know, for all these people that are trying to have an alternative. In whatever fashion of service that you're getting from the government now, you should be getting from the kingdom, you know, whether like the homeschool instead of public education and all the other things that go along with it. Instead of Obamacare, trying to go ahead and using holistic, more natural ways, you know, getting away from stuff like vaccines and what have you.
Alishiba, you started to say something?
Yeah, you know, Rob, I'm not sure what you're doing in your congregation, but we had it. A gathering one day on the phone, and we were talking about what we could do in our local areas. And Caleb made up this little card with people's name on it and like Living Network or something where there was an internet connection, and then the person could have their phone number underneath. It's simple. It's something that could be put up on bulletin boards or handed to people that we talk to so that they can talk to someone who's local or see a local phone number representing the Living Network. And, you know, I think it'd probably be most effective with whenever people, you're talking with someone and they want to know a little bit more about who you are or what church you go to, or if you're homeschooling, why you might do something like that, and that you do have the support of other homeschooling families that have a similar view. These are all a way to get a more local presence known without a person having to have internet. And we can answer questions and we can share books. I've shared Covenants of the Gods. I've shared Thy Kingdom Comes with a man around here that has no, all he does is write letters. He doesn't have any other way of communicating. And we find some positive responses to that. Like I say, I don't know what you're doing, but we're finding some positive with something simple like that.
Yeah, that sounds good. I know our minister of record had actually reached out and done something similar to that for some homeless, and I think it was actually battered women in his local community there, where they went ahead and had made up some baskets with stuff that would help out those individuals, and included in there some of the writings, you know, out of some of the books that Gregory has written, and also went ahead and put in little cards with that same type of information on it, so that those people, not only while they're going through that trial that they're going through at the time, that they actually have something where, hey, reach out here, and here's a network of people that might be able to help you further your way. But that whole concept of actually putting them on bulletin boards, you know, like the local post, you know, at Walmart and stuff like that, I've never thought about that. That is an awesome idea.
Yeah, we got little coffee shops around here that have bulletin boards, and you can find them all over. It's a lot of the convenience stores, gas stations will have things where you can post a card. And if we have business-sized cards that have a little, hopefully, catchy saying that's that someone will notice, maybe we can make a connection. But we're always looking to make those connections and always looking for better ideas on how to do it. It turns out that spreading this word is best done one-on-one anyway, but you got to find the one.
And a lot of people don't feel the need at this point. They're already wrapped up in whatever social groups that they're part of. And it seems like it's a drawing of the spirit and an awareness that there's something wrong with this picture that makes a person willing to consider something else than what they have already.
I would agree. Certainly there's an awakening happening, that people sense that just something is not right with the world and that they need something else than just the status quo.
We definitely have our work cut out for us, considering, you know, the mainstream church has people very comfortable in this fantastic situation that doesn't ring true with what the gospel says. And when you're comfortable, you know, it's hard to even develop an interest in seeking out something different.
So I would add, too, that, you know, is making the contact, even when you talk about the computer realm of it, you know, it's very efficient, very easy to make contact. But that really isn't the network itself either. It's actually, you know, here recently we just went to the Burning Bush Festival up in Oregon, basically thousands of miles away, and had previously gone to some of the Missouri gatherings. And it's that face-to-face when you actually meet people that is when you realize that, you know, it's real and that these are real people with their own problems that are striving just like we all need to be doing.
I think it's funny, a lot of people say that's when they realize we're not wackos. You know, we're real people. And going through the same thing.
I would have to say that myself probably wasted a year sitting on a Google group just watching, thinking it was just a normal one of these chat groups when it's not. These are people that want to meet together, that are really trying to do things to go ahead and build a kingdom.
We have another caller.
Excellent.
Area code 630, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for sending me the response. Unfortunately, it's my fat fingers dialing the wrong number. I don't know what time it is in New York. I woke some dude up. I had to apologize. Calling the wrong number.
Is this Bill?
Yeah, it is.
Hi.
Well,
so,
here, I hear you, Rob. Not forsaking the gathering of people. Is this a congregation? Can you spell congregation? Is a congregation two or more? Wait a second. That's three questions. Did I congregate on you guys?
My head's spinning.
Now, I'm taking a cue out of Scott's comment. Cricket. I hear cricket. You know, in Chicago, you know, we had a famous guy that used to be one of the greatest congregators. He was the guy from The Sopranos. You know what I'm talking about?
Forget about it. I
did all their work in a bar in a town called Berwyn, right next to Frankie's. Tracy knows where that's at. But at any rate, the name of the bar was Forget About It. But they used to say things like, I hear tings, I hear tings. And that's what the Google groups are. I hear tings. But you look at the Burning Bush, and it's like, for us, it would have been 22.3 hours, you know, depends on how GPS works, but, you know, as the crow flies or whatever. And it's a long way and a long distance, so hopefully I can make it this spring to a little bit closer to the Midwest here and hook up at the Indiana gathering. So that should be something to look forward to.
Yeah, like Gathering, Missouri is, well, it's only 6 hours for me, so it's probably even closer for you in Chicago.
I don't know. I mean, are you driving with a tribe or what? I mean, because I went down to see Robin Paducah as the crow flies. GPS says it was going to be like 6.5 hours. It took me like 9. I mean, it was like I'd be driving by billboards and it'd be some one of those out of the world, you know, kind of things. You know, Dr. Pepper, you can't live without it or whatever. I'd be like, don't look at that sign. I don't want to stop again.
Yes, the tribe does make frequent stops.
I was joking earlier. Rob picked up a four-month-old calf, and I was there, and, you know, it's just a state away. I mean, it's just across a river and down through Paducah. But the gentleman that he bought the calf from was talking. I felt like I was on Mars or something. I couldn't even get at that language. So I can understand where a lot of people that come into this HHC, me in particular being the greenhorn, would look and say, no, you all a little crazy. You know what I mean? So I don't know if, you know, if I posted stuff here at the local grocery stores, Tischler's or whatever, what would I put on there? What would be the buzzword?
That's a good question. That's something that we struggle with all the time. I like the short, trite phrase, the kingdom of God is at hand, and then I'll put any questions and I'll put my phone number. But that's kind of my sense of humor. Other people have different ideas. El Sheba was talking about a card that she had made up. What did your card say, El Sheba?
I think that the first one that we worked with Caleb on, said his holy church is not what you think. You know, that might get somebody's mind thinking, and our phone number was on there. It's like, well, they can call and they can find out. If it's not what I think, what is it, you know?
In today's short attention span world, we don't have a lot of time to try and catch their attention. So it's got to be short. I even pictured these big white billboards with just a little bit of black text on the middle saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Any questions, and put the website or put the phone number or his holy church, something that they could remember. But you just don't know what people are going to gravitate to. So I encourage you to do that and maybe just pray about it, you know, ask the Spirit what comes to mind, what's going to work in your area, what are people going to respond to.
Well, you know, a simple card with just the Living Network on it and local representative or something might work for people that don't have internet because your phone number's on there. The Living Network, by the way, has developed nicely. I think it's still a work in progress, but I think it's coming together nicely. I like it.
And that's really what we're talking about here, the Living Network. That's the kingdom that Christ set up on earth. That's the kingdom that they had going in ancient Israel. It was a network of people, and they were joined by these ministers who belonged to God. The same thing, and even Abraham, as he brought the people out of Ur, was setting up a network of servants where they weren't ruling over each other. And we just happen to call it the Living Network now, but that's the core of what we're talking about. And I don't know how much time we have left. Maybe Cheryl can guide us on that.
We have a couple more minutes. If you would, when you're ready, take us out in a prayer that emphasizes us coming together as a community, whether it's online or offline or in person or however that ends up being.
And I'm thinking if you could briefly tell us, what is a PCM and how could people connect with a PCM?
Yeah, PCM, that's the short. We've called them a few different things. We call them contact ministers, and we switch to personal contact ministers, and that's what we're calling a PCM. What a contact minister is someone that will be on, well, right now he's on an email group. He's kind of out there ready to field questions. He offers up his contact information, and it doesn't need to be email group. It can be a phone number. It can be in person. But he's there to kind of, he or she is there to kind of connect people. And when you first come to the Living Network and you're looking to find someone else in your area or another area, these are the people that keep things connected. You come to me and you know someone in Illinois, I'll know a PCM there, and they have an idea who's in that area. So they have an area to understand, but it's a limited or an introductory version to an actual minister of record, where you're kind of learning the ropes by keeping people connected. You don't have a lot of the responsibilities of a minister of record, but you do learn to how to connect people, how to discuss and talk about some of the precepts of the kingdom and his holy church. So that would be a PCM.
Thank you, Paul. And the website address that a person can get on and look at all the PCMs and find out if there's one in their area they can contact if they have internet connection?
We have a couple of ways to do that online, and the online ways would be The Living Network, including the word the, thelivingnetwork, altogether.org. That will get you to the connection points, and you can see pictures and bios of the personal contact ministers and the ministers of record. You can also go to hisholychurch.org, which will get you to some of the more in-depth information, some of the things that Brother Gregory and other people around the network have written to understand where we're going with His Holy Church. And we have a number of websites. Those are two good starting points. And like I said, I gave out my number, and Elisha Bill gave out her number. If you want to call us, we can help you. I presume if you're hearing this, you've either got a good phone connection or you have internet. We want to connect with as many as can hear our voice, hear Christ's voice.
Hello.
Hello. Is this a new caller?
Hey, it's Rob. Rob C. in California.
Hello, Rob. Rob is involved in California and an elder in his church at the Holy Sacrament. So we got a good turnout from around the country today. Is that it for callers?
That's it for callers for right now.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned leaving with a prayer. We had a big discussion on this. We have a lot of things going on around the network, and one of them, or a number of them, are conference calls where we get together and we will have a book discussion on some of the things that Gregory has written, or we'll have a woman's call to address needs like that. And one of the calls, we were talking about a lot about prayer, and we kind of determined that this whole call that we put together, all these calls that we put together, are a prayer in themselves. So while we are talking with each other, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to join us and to be with us and to guide us in our conversation. So having a rote prayer is sometimes superfluous to, you know, what we've just accomplished on the call. And I think we accomplished a lot today. We got to hear from a lot of people, and we can certainly pronounce a rote prayer, or we can accept what we've just done as our prayer and wrap it up.
Okay.
What do you think?
Some people, I think, Cheryl, have taken to heart where our Savior said, but when you pray, you go into your closet and shut the door, and your Father in heaven will hear your prayers and reward you openly. This was a lengthy discussion that we had on one of the calls. And while that didn't preclude for some of us the formal prayer where we invite the Father's presence or thank him for joining us at the end, it does in some people's hearts make them very uncomfortable about having just a prayer, because it may be more rote in some people's minds.
Okay, very good.
I guess we've run over into your show, but I certainly want to thank you again for giving us this opportunity, and maybe we can do it again if Brother Gregory has a need to go out of town.
Very good. I hope he'll have you on speed dial.
Excellent.
Well, thank you all for joining us today. I really appreciate you being here, and I just want to say thank you, sharing your from your heart.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.